I'm going to go into my main message today. And what I'm going to try today is something a little bit different. And I think it works better when you have a smaller group. So if we had 100 people here today, I would not go at this particular topic with the approach I'm going to take today. But the approach I'm going to take, and I'm going to try this a few times during the year, is I'm going to start out with a little story. And just to get your mind in tune with what I want to be talking about. And after I give you this story, what I want to do is give you a story from my own life that I feel relates to this story. Then what I'm going to have you all do is actually share amongst yourselves. Now we have six folks here, and what I'd like to do is get you to break into groups of three, and you're going to share something that you think may relate to the story I'm going over today. Now, it doesn't have to exactly relate to the story, but in some way, hopefully, there's some connection you can make to the stories I'm going to go over today. And the point of this is, if you do any reading on adult learning, what you will learn is that when you have adults in a room, adults have a lot of experience, a lot of things that they already know. So when you have another adult trying to teach you something or some particular point, sometimes it's a good idea to use everyone in the room if you can. And so I think this is a way to do that, to get some more participation within the sermon per se, and we'll see how it goes. If you have a bad reaction to this, please let me know. But I like to try things every once in a while just to see how it goes and how people feel about it. And we're all pretty well-versed with each other. I know, Katrina, you're a little bit new to the group, and sorry to put you on the spot like this. I hope I'm not doing that. But if you don't want to share, that's okay, too. I don't want to force anyone here to share. But those of you that feel you have some connection to the story I'm going to relate today, please share it. And then what I want to do is I want to get at least one story from each side of the room in relation to what I'm going to be relating to you, to see if we can gather anything more from the stories that we will be passing around. And then what I will do at the end, or towards the middle and the end of my discussion, is I'll get into some biblical scriptures that relate, hopefully will relate to you, to the stories that we started with, and then kind of conclude things on that particular, in that particular path. So, the topic I'm looking at today is joy. Just the simple word of joy. The inspiration I got for this was I had to write an article for the Infused magazine recently, and the topic I had to deal with was joy. Now, a real basic definition of joy is just intense happiness, all right? A really great feeling, a good feeling. You gotta watch her. She likes to rake people's faces now, so just be aware of that, Tom. So that's the topic I'm dealing with here, and I'd like to relate a story to you right now. So just sit back and listen to this story and try to let this story percolate in your mind. And think of it from your own life's experiences. Is there anything that may relate to the moral of the story that I'll get to towards the end? But just be thinking about that as we go over the story right now. Now, this is the story of the strawberry, and I got this from a training manual. And it goes something like this. There was a fella, and the story says he was a monk of some sort. Now, he could be a Christian monk or a Buddhist monk or whatever. And he was going through the jungle one day gathering fresh fruit. So he's walking through the jungle looking for fruit. And all of a sudden, in this jungle, he notices that there's a tiger 100 yards away. And he starts to run away from this tiger, as many of us would do. Now, as he's running away from this tiger going through the jungle, he gets to a clearing. Then all of a sudden, he realizes he's at the precipice of a cliff. So there's no other way to go except over this cliff. There's a tiger behind him, but he notices a vine hanging there. So he grabs a hold of that vine and goes down 10, 20, 30 feet, hanging on this vine. Up above him is this tiger waiting for him. Below him, he notices all of a sudden another tiger. Now, of course, it's a story, okay? So I'm making this up. But there's a tiger above him, a tiger below him, and he seems to be in a really bad place right now. He's hanging on this vine, and then he notices a little mouse coming out of a hole, a crevice in this cliff, starting to nibble on the vine. And he's realizing, wow, this is really bad now, because how am I going to get out of this? All of a sudden, though, he notices something that was there all the time. Now, he was hanging on to this rope for, say, 5 minutes or so, trying to figure out what to do. But there's this huge strawberry within arm's reach of him. It looks like the most succulent, beautiful strawberry he's ever seen. And he forgets everything that's happening, pulls that strawberry out, and bites into it. And it was the most delicious, succulent strawberry he had ever tasted in his life. And for that brief moment, the tiger above him, the tiger below him, and that nibbling little mouse just pass from his mind as he goes with this great feeling, this joy he's experiencing in this particular moment. Now, what happens after that? The mouse nibbles through the vine. Now, as he falls down the cliff, he hits a little ledge. There's a ledge down below a little bit further, and he bumps and grinds and falls on this ledge and is able to hold on. And he just waits on that ledge until the tiger above him leaves the scene and the tiger below him leaves the scene. Finally, he's able to crawl back up the hill, the cliff, and leave and get away. Now, as he was walking away, he started to think about his life. And he was thinking how precious time is and how short time is. He also thought that many times in his life, he always worried about what was behind him, his past. And many times he worried what was in front of him, his future. Think of the tiger at the top and the tiger at the bottom. And he also thought about the mouse and thought, you know, there's always those nibbling, nagging things that happen day after day after day. And he thought of that in relation to the mouse. But when he thought about the strawberry, he realized sometimes there's things right in front of us that we aren't obviously aware of until something jolts us into taking a look at this and reaching out for it. And when we do, sometimes we feel great joy in that little moment, in that little strawberry, we'll say, because that's what the story's about. Now, in relating that story to you, I want you to start letting that percolate in your mind a little bit. Think about your own lives. What may have happened to you in relation to the things behind, the things ahead, the worries of day to day, and missing something that could have brought you great joy in the moment. And I'll tell you a story from my life. And this was back a number of years ago when I was trying to get married. I'll be obvious about it, okay? I wanted to get married, and it was starting to bother me that I was not married. And, you know, I was trying to meet girls in different ways. I was trying, you know, the dating online, getting to know people through the little ads online. I was trying various methods, blind dates, friends, all sorts of different things. I was trying to meet ladies and get to know them. And this one particular lady I had met, and I actually liked her, and I was very interested in her. We had a number of things in common. And we were going to meet somewhere where a number of our friends would be together. This was in a city out of town. And so we were going to meet in this city, and she was going to bring some of her friends. Now, what happened when I got out of town, this was actually in New Mexico, I had a friend of mine who lived in New Mexico at the time, and so I was going out there to also meet with him. And she brought a couple of her friends, and one of them was another fella. And I finally started to realize, oh, I think she's interested in this guy. And, you know, we're just really friends, as I was starting to understand that. But at that moment, it hadn't struck me yet. But now the reality was starting to set in. And what I started thinking about when I realized that was the times in the past when I thought I was interested in someone and they were interested in me, when actually they weren't and it didn't work out. So that was starting to percolate in my mind. And then I was starting to think about the future where, oh no, it's happened again. This girl is not going to be the one. What's going to happen in the future? Is it always going to be like that? So that was running through my mind. And then after a number of months later, after we had met, you know, and I met her friends, she met my friends, and et cetera, et cetera. We ate at a really nice Mexican restaurant, I remember that weekend. We got to go to Los Alamos and see where the nuclear weapons had gone off. They have a really neat museum there. It was my first time in New Mexico. The topography was very different and interesting. All these little experiences that I had while I was in New Mexico, seeing my friend who I'd not seen in years, I started to think about all of that. And I started to realize, wow, I really had a good time, even though things didn't go as I thought they were going to go. I thought, you know, maybe she's interested in me, maybe we'll start clicking and she's going to tell me that, et cetera, et cetera. But it didn't happen. And that was the focus of my mind that weekend. But as I thought about it months later and related all these experiences that I enjoyed while I was on that trip, I realized, wow, there was joy that I was experiencing, but at the time I wasn't really feeling it. I was missing it because of thinking about my past, thinking about my future, and those day-to-day things that take up and engross us rather than the joy that the Bible says we should have as Christians. Not that we can have it all the time, of course. I mean, everybody's going to get down from time to time. But the Bible does talk about a joy that we should have. The Bible talks about when you have God's Holy Spirit, one of the gifts of that Spirit is a great joy, a happiness that passes understanding. So in relating the story of the strawberry and the story from my life, what I'd like you guys to do, if you want to, you don't have to now, but if you could just get in a group of three, somebody just moved back there, I'll take the baby for a little bit here. I'd like you to relate anything that connected to you through my two stories and something in your own life that might relate to that also. If you could relate that to your mates right now, and then what I'd like to do is have one story amongst the three on each side related to the group as a whole. So you guys are going to have to vote on who you think had the better story in relation to our theme today, and then we'll go from there. So I'm going to give you a few minutes to do that right now as I walk Brianna around. So we'll take a little respite here.
You both are online?
Yeah.
Okay. The only thing I can think of, let's see, this would have been about 15 months back. I was getting laid off at work. My wife and I were living in New Jersey. I had known I was getting laid off for a good 6 months. I've been sending out resumes all summer long, getting nowhere. And I had to make a choice. Because I had obligations to visit three B-sites that year, to speak at three B-sites. I had to get presentations ready, so I'm not sure that I can. And I could decide, well, look, I have to work on my job. It's more important to work on my job. And at one point, I remember sitting in the parking lot at work, and I basically just parked the car, got to work, going in to the office, get on the internet for either transfer to my company or another job. And I said, you know what? I'm going to just go enjoy the festival season. I'm going to keep Sabbaths, be with people, and not worry about the job. Let it all take care of itself. By the time we got to the end of the feast that year, let's see, we were driving, we had just flown into the last spot we were going to meet with some brethren, which was Harrisburg. And I'm driving from the airport to Harrisburg, where I had the Bible study that night. And that's when I got the call on the phone with my fourth job offer. We should all come anywhere from, let's see, September, mid-September through the last week of September. So in a period of 4 weeks, I got 4 job offers. Turns out after I moved, got my email back up, I had a 5th job offer in my inbox. So it was like, it all worked out. And because I decided that I was going to, you know, focus more on being at church, being with the brethren, being in God's Word, doing what I needed to do to serve, and, you know, enjoy the music and the worship and everything, and not worry about the job situation. It all worked out. So that sort of fits in with what he was saying.
Yeah.
That's my little story. You're... Do you have anything? Does that jog your memory?
Oh, I told so many people it's changing my mind. No, but I'm going to a feast in South Carolina to my call. And the wife and my stepchild, anyway, I had this problem with the call the library. But I thought it was universal joy. I said, I probably break this down. And as we were going down there,
very close to this other couple.
Well, we started banging, and also the drive ship dropped down
from the car.
And so I said, oh, well, no problem. God is going to send it in place of universal joy. When I crawled underneath there,
most of our freedom was there.
Bell House and Transmission were approaching my physics. I assumed that it was the drive ship.
They were a lovely couple.
I smoked right when I come this
way. They had one daughter who was about 10 years younger than in the middle of that, and they had said that they could never quite decide between the two of them whether they thought of us as a younger brother and sister, or if they thought of us as more like children. But I mean, they can relate to us.
I said, well, we've been really kind of busy. We can tell them we have a total world place.
And, you know, we were in the middle of this just wonderful.
So this friend that was there had to have my wife back with some people back to Ohio. I went with the Southern Packer, had like a painter for out. And she was there. So I said, we need to get a couple of these down there. You can drive me back. When I got to the point where I went by there, I had a couple of these other pieces. They had taken it apart, but they hadn't fixed it.
So you were joy challenged.
I called my brother who lived in Norfolk, which is way across from Virginia. And so he said, well, I'll see if he can tell. He said, yeah, I got a tow right here.
That's what he wants. If I had had a code in Ohio, I would have had the
I just draw a meat, there's a trench.
Also, you have to go back to this.
So actually, God was pushing me to the point where the only way after I got a fish right was back there, north of us, and I fixed the whole thing up.
But I guess the point of the story is,
So basically, that ends up being the source of the joy and the faith.
Right, because
it's a peace.
Right.
Because you know you're being looked out for.
Right, right.
Somebody's watching. Somebody watched.
Yeah.
Like 30 back.
Yeah.
30 million people.
To a friendship.
Joy in the midst of the storm.
Okay, start to wind down and pick a story out of the stories you heard that will work.
I can still have to move up this one. That's really what Mike is getting at.
He was talking about basically having joy in the midst of troubles and problems. So we were talking about different things that influence how we can maintain joy in the midst of, in the midst of all the things going on around us.
You just recently a tree fell on our house. Construction work going on, we have a renovation where they have just finished re-signing the whole house, one of third of the time.
I was going to say, as a parent, you have to learn to stop worrying about that quite as much, I think.
Okay.
She built up her immune system.
Okay, so we'll bring back everybody and come together as a group. And what I'd like to do is just get one story from each side of the room. And again, the point for those of you that are just getting here, I told a story at the beginning of the discussion that had to do with how we allow our past and our future worries and the day-to-day worries get in the way of missing out on things that could be joyous in life. And then we wanted to relate some personal stories that might relate to that. And let's start on the left side of the room. And who wants to relate that story?
So you're all pointing at me.
Okay, Rick, so you go with me.
Sure.
Okay, everybody listen up. Rick's going to tell us a little bit about his story.
A year and a half ago, my wife and I were living in New Jersey. And basically, the business went south, and we ended up in a situation where for 3, 4, 5 months I knew I was going to be laid off right around September, and the whole summer I've been sending out resumes trying to get, you know, interviews, jobs, nothing was happening, and I was stressing out about it a lot and frustrated and anxious and everything else. And at one point I remember pulling into the parking lot at work for yet another day of going into the office and trying to send resumes out and apply for jobs and everything. And I had basically, you know, this choice to make as to whether I was going to, you know, go to the feast that year and keep the holy days. And I had been invited to, you know, attend in 3 different sites and to give seminars and whatnot, sermons. So I either had to, you know, basically put that on the back burner and walk away from that, or just trust that everything would work out. So that's what I decided to do. That was sort of my crossroads right there, the fork in the road. And I said, you know, look, I'm just going to go and not worry about what's going to happen with the job or anything like that. And focused on what was more important, and basically from that point forward, I don't remember exactly when it happened, but basically I started getting job offers and things all through September, and by the time the feast was over, I had 4 job offers, actually 5.
Wow. Didn't know. Crazy.
And they were all for more money that I was making, and I got, I had 2 transfers basically offered to me, and that's what brought us here. And so everything worked out, and basically because we really decided that I was going to focus more on being at church, being with brethren, serving and worshiping and being with God. You know, that sort of carried me through.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have to worry about that. And there was a lot of stress going on, but,
sure,
somebody was taking care of us.
Right.
And it didn't look like it at the time, but eventually it worked its way out, so you get reminded every once in a while that things are being taken care of.
Definitely, definitely. I think sometimes we need to wait, things do kind of take care of themselves, but it is stressful at times, definitely. How about over here? Who wants to relate a story? Faith, they're pointing at you.
Yeah,
so.
I know, that's because I'm the only one who shared anything.
Okay.
I'm not really sure that this is exactly what you're getting at, but when I was first married, my husband and I were very good friends with another couple who were just about 10 years older than us, and we literally spent, we were both working full time, but we literally spent our evenings and our weekends and all of this other couple's house, and we became pretty much like extended family for each other, and we knew each other's families and just related to everything, and life was just wonderful. And then one day the wife was killed in a traffic accident. So it's like you wake up in the morning, and it was actually a Monday, and we had spent that whole weekend doing things with them. And I woke up Monday morning and I read an article in the paper about a common interest that I had with this woman. And I thought, oh, when I get home from work tonight, I'll have to call and talk to her about this article and all. And, we got back from dinner that night, and instead her husband called us from the emergency room and said Sandy was in a car accident and she didn't make it. And your whole life just kind of stops, and then it changes because you don't know how things will work out. And so I guess that what I'm saying is, we didn't know what to expect or whatever. And her husband turned out to be, he's a wonderful person, but he's the kind of man who doesn't function on his own.
Mm-hmm.
So he almost immediately began to start dating and trying dating services and to meet different women so that he could find another spouse to take care of him or whatever, which kind of left us out of the mix. And, as the years have gone by, we've remained friends with the family. But I was saying that I look back now, if this happened 25 years ago, and I look back now and I realize that some of my very best friends for the past 25 years, I probably would not have been good friends with, because if this woman had lived, I would not have had the time to share with other people, to become friends, to really get to know them. I mean, they were people that I worked with and that type of thing. And we were friendly, but we hadn't really become the kind of friends that we have now, that really lasted, our friendships have lasted over time and distance. And,
interesting.
So while to this day I feel very sad and I miss my friend very much, and I would certainly bring her back if I could.
Sure.
I also feel grateful that God showed me that there's so many other friendships out there to be made, and that we have to reach out and put our effort into things, and then things can come okay.
Definitely, definitely. I didn't know where you were going when you started that story, but now that you've completed it, I feel that does relate to what we were talking about, that the joy you had in these new friendships may have never been experienced by you if this tragedy had not occurred. And many times in life, we're going through life, things are going the way we want it to go, and boom, some roadblock occurs, some drastic change occurs that at the time we feel is debilitating, that we can't go on. But as we continue to go forward because of our faith, because of our belief, as we continue to press on, other things begin to happen that will dissipate whatever that may have been, and new, greater things may occur because we're continuing to press on towards that kingdom. So that's a fantastic story. Thanks for sharing that and being able to open up about something like that. We really appreciate that. Let me now just take you into some scriptures that hopefully relate to what we've just been discussing through these stories. And I want to first go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'm going to pick it up at verse 25. Now, we heard of a tragedy here, losing someone that was really close to you, you know, not having a job. I mean, that can really stress you out also. And notice 2 Corinthians 11. I just want to read a few scriptures here, beginning in verse 25. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 25. Now, this is Paul speaking. And notice what he's saying here, 2 Corinthians 11, 25. 3 times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about taking that gospel message out to the world and all the things he went through to try to do that. And if you read some of that, it's like, man, he could have lost his life there a few times, floating in the open ocean, getting stoned by some people. I mean, that's some bad things are happening to Paul. Yet he pressed on, and notice what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 3. Notice something about his attitude. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 3. He says here, "And I wrote this very thing to you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow over those from whom I ought to have joy, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all." So what's he saying? He's a joyful guy. He's a happy guy. But we read all those things he went through, you know, a few chapters forward. He probably experienced many of those before he wrote 2 Corinthians here. And he's still saying, hey, I'm joyful. You know, I'm a joyful guy. And again, we knew what the definition of joy is. So how did Paul have this joy, even though he went through some things many of us will never experience? We will experience tragedy. We will experience bad things in life. I know that, okay? But to the extent that Paul experienced them, not too many people will have that type of experience. Yet he had that joyful attitude, okay? And that's something we need to be remembering about our lives as Christians. Notice John chapter 15 and verse 11. John 15 and verse 11. Let's go ahead and read this here. John 15 and verse 11. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." Now this is Christ speaking here. He has joy. He wants our joy also to be full, to be filled up. Now, does that mean that you're always going to be happy and giddy? Of course not. Of course not. As human physical beings, we are going to have our downtime. But our attitude, our overall attitude, how we're thinking about life in general should not be from a negative or depressed standpoint. We got to overcome that, and I want to talk about how we do that in a moment. But let's just show you that, yes, there is evidence we need to have joy as Christians. Turning over to Galatians chapter 5 for a moment. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Galatians 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. One of these fruits of the Spirit is joy. Okay, now, you know, I'll be honest with you. You know, I'm on the phone sometimes with my brother in California. And my brother is very out there, okay, I'll say. This is a brother you don't know, okay? This is the one in California. Now, I will relate his personality as being like my mother's personality. Some of you have met my mother. My mother is very out there when she meets someone. She's always trying to give you some food, trying to make sure you're okay, trying to make sure everything is well with you. And my brother is very much like that. Now, sometimes I'm like that, but sometimes I'm not. So my brother usually calls me on a Saturday morning, and you know, I'm listening to him going on and on about what's happening in his life, what's going on, and he'll say, what happened with you? You know, when he gets all excited, what's going on? And I'll, oh, well, Brian's this, and you know that, and you know, I'm just up on a Saturday morning, and that's sometimes how I am when I'm talking to him. But he can't relate to that all the time because he always seems to be going 100 miles an hour. Now, I know that we can't always be like that, but some folks are naturally have that type of personality. I'm just trying to draw a conclusion here, a connection here to what how we want to try to be. Now, we want to be our natural selves, but I think that having the beliefs that we have, knowing what we know, and believing what we believe can help us have that greater joy than most people have in the world because of what we know about God's truth. Now, something else that's interesting when you look at this, turn over to the book of James. As I was going through various scriptures on joy, there was something interesting here over in James that I think really plays into some of the stories that we heard today. And this is over in James chapter 1, James chapter 1, and beginning in verse 2. James chapter 1, let me go ahead and get there. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now just stop there for a moment. Okay, don't read any further because it's going to explain it in a moment. But just think of that. From a human standpoint, when you are suffering, when you are in a trial or a tribulation, do you have joy in that situation initially?
Not in the flesh.
Yeah, not in the flesh. Not in the flesh. That's a good point that you're making there. Sometimes we can overcome that trial or tribulation by how we set our mind to think about it. Okay? Sometimes, you know, people who aren't even Christians can play games in their mind to overcome situations, but our belief and our faith, I believe, can help us overcome those trials, those sufferings, and those tribulations. But notice what he says further here as we read on in verse 3. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. What he's saying here, in a sense, is that, hey, when you do go through stuff, there's a good that can come from it in the end. And in this particular example, it's that perseverance, that patience that can be developed. That patience is needed in the Christian life. We were talking weeks ago about those who believe that the end was coming and when the end was coming. And for many of those Christians who believed that years ago, it did not come, did it? Yet they still believe, many of them. Today we know that some fall by the wayside because things don't go as they wanted to or planned them to go. But what God is trying to tell us here is part of life is going through things. Because in going through things, you are developing your character. You are becoming more complete as a person through those experiences. What faith related to us is a perfect example. The story I was telling you, I started to apply that in other ways and gained a lot from losses I thought I'd had in the past. When I look back on it, wow, I learned so much from that quote-unquote loss that actually it was a gain years later when I look back upon it. The same thing with Rick and losing the jobs or not knowing what was going to happen with the jobs. Once he just started going, hey, down the kingdom road, God took care of him. Okay, and I think God wants us to continue down that straight and narrow no matter what's going on around us, because as we do, the faith will sustain us and God will take care of us. And that's something He wants us to find and to see. Another scripture that relates to this is over in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 3. Kind of goes hand in hand with what we just read there in James. It just gives us a little more here in relation to that. Romans chapter 5, and beginning in verse 3. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Folks, these character-building experiences can create hope in us. With what Faith said, when she looks back on it now, it's like, wow, look at what I gained even though I had to go this way. I did not initially want to go this way, but in going this way, I've gained something from that. We can all say that about experiences in our life that initially did not look the best. When I was in love with a girl in my mid-20s that I wanted to marry, I was never in love before. This was my first love. I was the shy young boy, you know, if you could relate to that. And finding that girl who, wow, took you away, and that was the one, or so you thought, who says to you, no, I don't want to marry you, and who's dating someone else when she's dating you. And you realize it was crushing to me. Yeah. It hurt like nothing else up to that point in my life. But I'm so glad we did not get married. And the experiences I had meeting other different females over time, seeing different people from different perspectives in life, all those experiences helped me learn something about other people that I can apply now in my role as an elder within the church or just as a friend to someone else who's going through something. Meeting these different personalities has added to my knowledge who I am, and I would have never met these people if I had gotten married in my mid-20s as I wanted to or thought so at the time. And then realizing that she was going out with others behind my back was an eye-opener also. That helped me realize some other things about life that I needed to learn, which I was unaware of at the time. So again, we see these experiences that at first seem like they hurt actually help us later on in life. Now, how can you really know if you have joy? Well, let's think about that for a moment. How can you really know if you have joy? Let's pretend you go through life and everything is exactly the way you want it to be. You know, as I was growing up, I didn't have many bad experiences as a child. A couple fights here and there. You know, my parents were pretty good to us. They were not perfect. No parents are. But I did not have any terrible experiences like some people do in childhood. So as I got into my adult years, my early 20s, there were some things that had not affected me yet that had affected others at that age range who maybe had more experience in life. Now, as I went forward and had some, let's say, bad experiences, it helped develop who I am and my character, of course. But if I just went through life with everything seemingly okay, would I really know if I was a joyful person or not? I think we really know if we're happy or joyful when we have those negative, bad experiences occurring around us. Then, if we're able to overcome it, if we're able to continue on, we realize, hey, I do have that attitude of joy that the Spirit gives me. Okay? But if everything was perfect and good, how would you ever know, are you really feeling joy and happiness? Something to think about when you think about those trials and issues that may come upon you in life. Now, what really helps me, and I don't know if this will work for you or not, but when I'm reading Scripture regularly, when I'm coming to church regularly, when my prayer life is good regularly, I feel on. I feel like nothing can get
to
me.
You're in the zone, right?
That's a good way of putting it, in the zone, as they say in sports.
Yeah.
When I have fallen off the wagon a little bit with my prayer life or Bible study, those things that may bother you at times seem to have more of an impact on me. That's just my perspective. That's what I've seen from my own personal life. And when I get into Scripture and I read something like 1 Corinthians 15, and you can turn there if you like, but that's the resurrection chapter, ladies and gentlemen. And when you read it, this just pumps me up. It tells me that in the future, I can have a new life, an everlasting life that is nothing compared to what we are living right now. When I read that, I feel a strength. I feel something that cannot be taken away from me. When I read in Revelation 20 about a second resurrection, where those who have never understood who Christ was will come up at the end of the 1,000 years in a second resurrection. That was a question that was never answered for me in my Orthodox Christianity. They could never tell me, what happens to all these Buddhists and Hindus and folks like that? Where are they? You know, there was always various ideas, but nothing ever concrete like Scripture talks about in other various places too. When I read these things and understand that there is a newness of life that God has for everyone, that God wants to save everyone. Not everyone will make it, of course, but God wants everyone to make it, and He will give that opportunity to everyone. That gives me joy. That gives me something that I've never had in my life before, when I was always wondering about people getting murdered and people getting robbed and all the bad things that happen in life. It gives me that joy that surpasses understanding. In winding down here, I'd like you to turn over to Philippians chapter 4 for a moment. Philippians chapter 4. I'd like to read something there. Philippians chapter 4. And verse 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Now the word here is rejoice. And in the Greek, it's chairo, C-H-A-I-R-O. And the word for joy in the Greek that I've been addressing today is chara, C-H-A-R-A. So they're coming from that same root. The rejoice we're seeing here and the word joy that I've been using in some of these other verses. Chara and chara, very similar when you say it in the Greek. Now Philippians 4 verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's relating to what I was saying about my Bible study, my prayer, my meditation, my fellowship with other believers. When I'm doing that, when I'm on it, when I'm focused, this is connecting with God. And when you have that connection, when you are on the right track, you're going to have that joy that the Spirit will give you. And that's something that we need as Christians, especially in this crazy world in which we live, where there always seems to be something crazy going on out there. Now, in winding down, I'd like to relate a little postcard that was once sent to me. Tom, you're going to like this this postcard. On this postcard is a picture of a little dog. It looks like a Yorkshire Terrier. And he's jumping in the air, and there's a ball, like, right about here, and this dog is just jumping in the air, if you've ever seen a dog jump for a ball. At the top of the postcard, it just says simply, have joy. Have joy. I keep that postcard in my exercise area, and the reason I keep it there is to be reminded that we need to have joy. We will get down. We will get a little depressed at times by life's strains and stresses. But we must maintain that joy that God gives us through His Spirit. Because that joy can help others see there's something different about that person. Why are they in this good attitude most of the time? What is it that's working for them? And what it is our belief and faith that we have in Jesus Christ and Him crucified and what that death can do for us and for all people. Any comments, questions about what we did today? Any criticism about the breaking into groups? Please, if you want to tell me later, that's fine, but I really want some feedback because, every once in a while I want to try something different. I don't want to just give you the straight sermon, type of thing. And I'm working with the youth, and things like this seem to work for them a little bit better. If it's not working for adults, please let me know. But any comments or any stories come to mind?
Just one real